Torah, and we explain that Torah is not just learning Torah, but it's the whole gamut of what Torah is all about, the whole purpose of Torah, which is what he explained in the first parak, Chovas Ha'adam Bi'olamo, that's Torah. Torah describes what a person's responsibility is in this world to himself, to God, to the world. And once you understand what your tachlis is, what your purpose is in this world, now you can go on to fulfill that purpose by going through these midos one after the other. So the first midah is zehirus, being careful. Hine inyan hazehirusu, sheyeh ha'odem nizer b'maisov uve'inyonov, kolomar mizbonein u'mefakeach al'maisov u'drokav ha'tovim he'mimlo. A person was put in this world to do things that will bring him closer to Hashem and Mamela make his neshama more ready, fit for Olam Haba, and to stay away from things that will distance him from Hashem and distance him from Olam Haba. That, in a nutshell, is everything we learned since we started this. Okay, therefore, person has to start out, if he understands that that's the purpose, then how do you achieve? How do you put it into practice? So the way to put that into practice is by being careful to do those things that are positive, the reason why you're here, and to stay away from the things that are negative, that contradict and deter you from fulfilling the purpose that you're here. Okay? It's pretty obvious that that should be the first step. Now let's work on the words over here. He says, "Sheyeh ha'adam nizor b'maisav uve'inyonav." What is maisav and what is inyonav? So one idea is the following, I think. One is a person has to be careful that he does the right things. We're talking about the thing itself. Is this the kind of thing that will promote my purpose in the world, or is it the kind of thing that will deter me from that purpose? So that's the chefta, the thing itself, that's maisav. And then there is inyonav. Inyonav, or maybe just the opposite. One second, what did I see? No, just the opposite. Maisav is how a person does things, right? How you do them. Inyonav is what are the things that you're doing. You could do good things, but you could do them in a way that they're not good, that they won't promote Olam Haba, or they won't promote it the best way. So the thing itself may be intrinsically good, but the way you do it may be not the way it's supposed to be done. So you're taking a good thing, and you're not doing it properly. That's what's called Maisa. And then there's more significant in Yonah, the things itself that you're involved in. What are you involved in? Are you involved in good things or bad things? Right? So you have to discern both, is the thing itself good or bad, and is the way you're doing it good or bad? Maisav and inyonav. That's one way of understanding it. Another way is, I think, what? No, because first you, in general, look at what you're doing. So that includes also the, in general, is it a good thing or not? Right? Are you doing good things or doing bad things? Right? And that includes how you do it. And then take a second look and see whether the thing intrinsically is what's it called, is all good or all bad. The reason it's not out of order is because we're not necessarily talking about good versus bad. Either it's good or it's bad. Since the chait of Adam Harishon, every single thing in this world is a combination of good and bad. There's no total good, there's no total bad. Every good has some bad in it, and every bad has some good in it. Right? There's an irbuv hatova hara. And therefore, that's one result of the chait. We'll see in a little while, if we get to it tonight, a second result. But the first result is there's no absolute good or bad in this world. All good has some bad in it, and all bad has some good. And therefore, person has to start out with, am I doing something good or something bad? That in general is the thing in general good, And am I doing it in a good way? And then I have to be more specific, right? Even if it's in general good, I have to be more specific. Is this really the good part of that good thing, right? That's a second consideration. Is it really what I'm doing, the thing itself, totally good? Or is it mixed in with bad, and I haven't separated the bad from the good? That's one possibility. Another possibility is ma'asav are a person's day-to-day individual actions. You have to judge your actions, and that includes both parts. Are you doing it right? Are you doing what is right? That's ma'asav. Then there's inyonav. What are your projects, your tochniot, your inyon, inyonim, right? In other words, I may be involved in a lot of individual things that are good, but is my whole demeanor, my plans, my standards, values, goals, are they basically good or not? Am I doing a bunch of individually good things, but I don't have it all put together? I don't have what my goals are, what my inyonim are, right? In inyan is what's ma'anyenoti, right? What interests me? What are my interests? So that also the person has to. First, you have to make sure that you're on the basic level doing what's right. But are you involved in a lifestyle that's right? That's it. First, you have to worry about your individual actions, and then go beyond that. What about your lifestyle, your inyanim? That's more your lifestyle. That's another possibility. Okay. And then he says, Kolomar, Misbonein umifakeach al maisov udrochov. Here he substitutes inyonov to drochov. To be misbonein and mifakeach. First to think and to ascertain whether what I'm doing is in fact good, proper, promotes what I'm supposed to be doing in this world. And then mifakeach. After you know, then do something about it and make sure that what you know is put into action, right? What's the word from the mifakeach to
supervise?
What?
Supervise.
No, mifakeach means to supervise. Yeah, but it means more to right. To oversee, make sure, to put it into action, to implement, that's a better word. To first know and think, to know what you're doing, and then just to implement it. In b'fakeach ha-maisav, udrochav. Here again, maisav means your actions in general. And drochav is what's behind it. Where are you going? What derech are you on? You may do all the right things, but you're not on any derech. You don't have any goals. You don't have any direction. That your lifestyle is not different. We speak about that all the time. The person can do all the mitzvahs, but his lifestyle doesn't represent what the mitzvahs are supposed to represent. So that's the same thing we said before. Ma'isav and inyonav. Same thing over here is now you mefakeach a ma'isav udrachav. First you understand, be careful with your ma'isim and your inyonim. That's more intellectually, theoretically, abstract. And now mefakeach on what you do and where you're going, what direction you're taking. Okay. Hatovim heimim lo. Are they good or are they not good? Levilti azov nafsho lisakona so avadon chas v'sholom. Because not knowing what's good and what's bad, and not being careful to do those things that will give you olam haba, and stay away from the things that will make you lose it, right? You are putting yourself in danger of being lost, of being totally destroyed, right? Because, again, life means that you have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch. The less of a connection, the less you really are alive. Because life in this world is very temporary. We're talking about eternal life. And the more that you're connected to the Rabbanu Shalom by these things that are proper, the more eternal life you have. The less connected you are to the Rabbanu Shalom, the less life you have. So you're basically causing yourself a quantitative death by being involved in things that distance you from the Rabbanu Shalom and the Mela minimize your Olam Haba. Velo yelich b'mahalich ergolo, and therefore it's a tremendous danger for a person not to be careful of what he does. And to walk the mahalech hergelo, just to do, flow with the flow of life, and not be discerning what you're doing. Ki iver ba'athela, like a blind person at night. L'chora, what difference does it make if you're blind if it's night or day? So the Gemara says it's a difference. What's the difference? Difference is you have other people who could show you the way. You may be blind, but if you're a blind person groping in the light, other people could show you the way. But if you're a blind person groping in the darkness, then nobody can show you the way. So if you just follow your hair goal, two problems. One is you yourself don't see what's good and what's bad. And even if you don't know what's good and bad, you could ask advice. You don't ask advice either. It's you're in the dark and you're blind. You don't know what's good and bad like a blind person. You don't know what's in front of you. And you don't have other people to help you. So that's a person who doesn't want to learn and doesn't want to ask advice. In those two ways, you just follow your instincts or whatever, and you end up, what's it called, in trouble.
Hara?
Yeah.
Is there some reason why he said,
maybe. As, hold the question. It's a good question. Why don't you say Hatovim Heim Imra'im?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we'll see that the he explains as we go on that the Zahirus is not just not to do things that are bad, but not to do the things in the best quality they could be. Because relatively, even something that relatively is good, but you could do it better, is bad compared to something that could be better. So it's not just, is it good or bad? Is it good or not as good as it could be? That's the idea. Okay. So a person has to, there's two things over here. Let's finish the paragraph, then we'll go back over it. This is something that a person, an intelligent person, his intelligence will bring him to this idea. Person was given intelligence to save himself from danger and to run away from things that will cause the destruction of his neshama. How is it possible that a thinking person should want to avoid saving himself from danger and harm? There's nothing lower, right, and more, there's no greater folly than that. The person who acts like that is worse than an animal. An animal by instinct runs away from danger. And here a person is worse than an animal. He doesn't run away from the things that are dangerous to him. Except the difference between an animal and a human being is that an animal knows these things by instinct. But since God gave people intelligence and he gave us free choice, he doesn't give us the same instincts. And we have to be misboning. We have to think to know what things are dangerous. And if we don't think, then things that are obvious to animals by instinct, to a human being, isn't so obvious. That's what it says in Yeshayahu. Yoda shor koneu, the chamor evus balav, and a donkey and an ox know by instinct their master. They know at least where they're being fed from. It's instinctive. But Amilo Yoda, but my nation doesn't know, Yisrael always bonan, because they didn't think. For a human being, if you don't think, then you'll miss even things that are instinctive to animals. A human being is given intelligence, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give us necessarily a lot of the instinctive things that he gave animals, because he expects us to use our seichel and to choose to know these things, not to have them automatically. An animal has no seichel. He doesn't have free choice, so God provided him with a natural means of protecting itself and knowing what's good and what's bad. But human beings don't have that unless they think. V'alkein yivrichu v'yanusu mikol mashir lahem heyosu mazik lahem. Animals, therefore, by instinct, run away. Yivrichu v'yanusu. Right? The yivrichu means they run away from something that has the potential to damage them. Right? That if they would stay where they were, in other words, they see a fire approaching. So they run away from the place where they are to avoid the fire harming them. Nisa is a person retreats. You're going a certain direction, and you realize that if you continue walking in that direction, you're going to be in danger. So you retreat from that direction. In other words, bricha is running away from something that if you stay where you are, the thing will catch up to you. Nisa is that if you continue going in the direction you are, right, you're going to end up meeting up with danger. I think that's the difference between them. Okay? In other words, if you stay where you are, you won't be endangered from the thing that you're retreating from. But if you stay where you are, you'll be in danger from the thing that you're running away from. There's one, the thing is pursuing you, and you have to run away from it. The other one, you're headed towards danger, and you have to retreat from that derech, and what's it called, in that way save yourself. That's between Nisa and Bricha, I think.
We're saying that Adon Olam Hashem is monosli. So
no, you can have, that's what the Gemara says, that really does make sense, because you run away from something, monos. But manos can also mean a lecha evrach, right? I'll run away to you. Even all the things I could possibly run away from, you can't run away from the Rebbe Mishlom. So even if you're running away from him, you're running towards him. Even if you're trying to retreat, you're retreating towards him. By the Rebbe Mishlom, Nisa and Bricha are all towards him also. What that means, not so pleasure, it's not for now. But it's, what's it called? It's a concept of a lecha anus, or what's it called? You can't run away from the Rebbe Mishlom. It says that what's it called? I'm going to run away towards you, to you. You don't run away towards something, run away from something. But by the Rebbe Shalom, the running away of the Nisa, so it has nothing to do with here. It's a different concept.
When you're running towards a bad thing, you think you just stop. What do you have to
do? No, because you want to distance yourself from it even more.
So the whole time that you're running towards it, you're actually not running towards it, you're running in it. Running in something that's bad for you. So
no, you're running
away,
towards it too. And you want to distance yourself from it, right? Not only do you want to not get closer, you want to get farther away from it.
Why?
But it's not pursuing you, because the farther, if you want to, you're walking towards falling off a cliff.
Okay.
So if you stay where you are, you won't fall off the cliff, but you'll be close to falling off the cliff, you know, if a wind comes or whatever. So you want to get farther away from the end of the cliff, so even if a wind comes, it won't put you off the cliff. Okay, so that is the difference between Bricha and Nisa. So animals have that instinct to run away from something that's pursuing them and to retreat from something that they're headed towards danger. But a human being who goes through the world without thinking, Im tova darko ra, he doesn't know if his way is good or bad. Maybe he's coming, there are things that are pursuing him. He's on a bad path, and there are dangers, lions coming to get him, right? Spiritual lions. Or he's headed towards danger. Hinehu kesuma holech al shvas hanahar. He's like a blind man who's walking on the edge of the river. Asher sakonoso vade atsuma. If he takes a wrong step, he falls into the river. And he knows he's walking in a place that that if one wrong step can drown him.
Has he changed the system over here before he's been?
So before he spoke about an Iver, and here he speaks about a Sum. The only thing I think of is the following. An Iver is a person who is blind, can be a person who's blind from birth. A Summa, on the other hand, could be a person who became blind from external things, right? Mesame Aseino, right? You don't say Ma'aver Aseino, right? Mesame, right, is what's it called, is to cause somebody to be blind. So I was thinking maybe a summa, even though they could be used interchangeably, but a summa is more specifically somebody who became blind, and an iver is a person who was blind from the beginning. So he says like this, in the beginning, a person, one second, where did he say iver before?
Right in the beginning.
Ke'iver ba'feila. Right. There, he's talking about a person who perhaps never learned what's right and what's wrong. Then he's like a blind person. But here he's talking about a person who knew what's right and what's wrong, but he never bothered to think into the fact now whether this is right or wrong. So he's blinding himself now. Right? A person who never learned and just, what's it called, plods through the world is like an iver. A person who doesn't think is like a summa. He's blinding himself. Not that he was blind from the beginning. Ki ulam chisaron hashmira mifnei ha'ivaron hativi. Right? Not, what's it called, there's two kinds of blindness. That's what he hints to what I just told you. One is natural blindness, the person was born blind. O mipnei ivorin haritzoni, or you cause yourself to be blind by not making the right choices. Either you're blind because you never learned and you don't know, or you're blind because you don't want to know. You choose not to know. That's like a summa. Okay? That's called ivorin haritzoni. That's a summa.
All right, if he's a summa, then he would know what walking on the side of the river is. If he was blind from birth,
you wouldn't realize that there was any danger.
So there's an implication
on using
that metaphor of a river,
because
you can only understand what it is.
If you once saw what a river is, I get it. Okay. Okay. They're the same thing. Whether a person is blind because he doesn't know what's good and what's bad, or he chooses not to want to know what's good and bad. He knows bad, but he chooses with Bechira not to discern, then one is like the Summa, the other one's like the Iver. And they're both equally bad. Okay. Now, this idea that a person can be blind either because he never learned, and he's not concerned, he's not interested in knowing what's right and what's wrong. That's one kind of problem. That's one kind of Izahiris. You're not careful because you don't bother to find out if what you're doing is good or bad. And intrinsically, is this a good action or a bad action? Right? You never learned anything. You don't know what's good, you don't know what's bad. So that's one kind of blindness. Then there's another kind of blindness. I know what's right and what's wrong, but I choose not to consider it. Not to be mifakeach, right? I'm not misbonein and mifakeach. I don't implement it. I don't think about it. Right? I know basically what's right and what's wrong. I'm not interested in implementing it. My bechira makes me oblivious of what I know. I don't know it, or I know it, but I don't care about it. Yeah. Those are the two possibilities. And the idea is that a person who's not misbonein and not nifakeach, inevitably he's going to be blind. He's going to be distort things. Because like we said, since then there's another thing that came bad from the chait of Adam and Chava. First thing was that there's an irbuv of tov and ra. So you can never really know what's good and what's bad unless you learn. Because it's not simple that there's good things that are obviously good and things that are obviously bad. It's not so obvious. Because everything's a mixture. And you have to be able to know how to see things. What's predominantly good, what's predominantly bad. It's not so simple that you can know it instinctively. That's the first thing. That's the second thing. Before the chait of Adam and Chava, there was a Yetzer Hara. But it wasn't internalized. It was external. And it was more intellectual, and it was more objective. You could make a choice to do bad, but pretty much you knew that was bad, you knew this is good, and you could decide you wanted to do bad. But after the chait of Adam and Chava, since everything got mixed together, also the Yetzer Hara became part of the person. It wasn't external anymore. And then it became subjective. The Rambam says, before the chait of Adam and Chava, the free choice was between emes and sheker. Either it's true or it's false. True is something that exists. False means it doesn't exist. You could decide to do something that doesn't exist. You could throw yourself into a fire, throw yourself off a building, right? But you know you're throwing yourself off a building. You're making a choice that's truth or falsehood. And it's not a subjective choice. It's a very objective choice. After the chait, the Yetzirah became part of the person, and everything became very subjective. And Memela, it's a choice between good and bad, not anymore truth and false. The difference is good and bad is relative. Something could be good compared to something less good, and bad compared to something better. So the same thing can be good or bad at the same time. Depends what you relate it to. So same idea. Since everything got mixed up, good and bad, it's not easy to know objectively what's good and what's bad. It's not like here's the fire and here's the medicine, right? This is bad, this is good. It's all a mixture of everything together, so you have to be much more discerning. Secondly, even after you're discerning, you could mistake the good for the bad and the bad for the good because it's all relative and it's all within you, so it's very, very subjective. So therefore, you need both things. You need to learn what's good and what's bad intellectually, right, abstract-wise, and then you have to be able to use your hisboneness to be mefakeah, to know how to implement that, right, to really see the good is good and the bad is bad, not to confuse them, right? And a person has the ability to distort things if he wants to. We always give the example that the Rebbe Chanan says that lo sasuru achre levavchem means false ideologies. Or you would think false ideologies is truth and falsehood. It's false. So you don't have to go after your heart, you go after your mind. But since the chait of Adam and Chava, it's not your mind that's the problem. A person's mind is basically straight. It's your heart that distorts what your mind sees and makes you see the falsehood as truth. That's the problem. That's why the Yetzer Hara, the Gemara says, Baal Shem Tov learns this Gemara. The Gemara says, Shochet mitmei mamischayev. Shochet from the, Shochet is a kinoi for the Yetzer Hara. He's the one who kills you, the Malach HaMavis. He's also the Yetzer Hara, he's also the Satan. So he has a job, he's a Malach. Why in the future it says God's going to shech the Yetzer Hara? Why? What did he do wrong? He just did his job. So one man, the Omer, I think Rav says, "Mitnei netilas neshama." Shochet is chayev. This is a agadic interpretation. Gemara was halacha. Gemara is talking about slaughtering an animal on Shabbos. What's the chiyuv? So Rav says, "Mitnei netilas neshama." The chiyuv is you're taking life. So taking a life on Shabbos is a malacha. And Shmuel says, "Mitnei tzoveya," because you're dying with a Y. The neck of the animal, making it by the blood of the shechita, makes it look fresher, the base of shechita. So you're over on tzoveya, dying with a Y. So the Baal Shem Tov says there's a agadic meaning to this medrash, aside from the halachic meaning. The agadic meaning is, shochet, why is the Yetzer Hara going to be held liable in the future? And God's going to shecht him. He's only doing his job. Right, he's a malach who has a job to do. So one man, the Omer says, "Mipnei netilas neshama." He does his job too well, and he causes people to die. Right, he shouldn't have done his job as well as he shouldn't have been successful as he is. That's one pshat. And Shmuel says, "No, if that be the only thing, that's also part of his job. His job is to be successful. He's supposed to make you do sins." So if he's successful in making you do sins, you can't blame him. You know why he's going to be chayiv? Because if he would come to you and say, sleep later, miss davening, miss getting up and taking care of your kids, right? And, you know, selfishly stay in bed, right? Even though it's wrong, do it. Then he'd be doing his job, right? He's presenting you with a choice. Do something bad, do something good. But that's not how the Yetzer Hara comes. Yetzer Hara comes and says, If I get up now early, I'm going to be tired the whole day. I won't be able to learn. I won't be able to really daven properly. Better I should daven at home later, right? But I'll be able to do it with a lot more kavada if I get a little more sleep. Better I should ignore my children now, let them get off to school, because then I'll be in a much better mood when they come home, and I'll be a much better parent. So you're neglecting your children, thinking that you're doing them a favor. It's not an aveira anymore. Now it's a mitzvah. You're neglecting the davening and the learning, thinking you're doing a mitzvah. So he's soveya. He dies. He colors the aveira and makes it into a mitzvah. That's not his job. His job is to give you an equal choice, not to fool you into thinking that what you're doing is really good when it's really bad. But that's the Yetzer Hara. So the Yetzer Hara, right, fools you into thinking that what you're doing is right. Right? It give you, a person has the ability to distort anything. Like we said many times, that's the idea of Nasa Adam. God said nobody ever became an apikoros because it says in the Torah, let us make man. But apikorsim use it as an excuse. You can distort anything if you want to. Everything starts with your desire. What do you want? What you want, you see what you want. You don't want what you see. You see what you want. So therefore, you have two problems with Zahiris. One, know what's right and what's wrong. And secondly, don't distort the wrong and think that it's right. First, find out what intrinsically is right and wrong. And then find out that maybe that you know intrinsically something's wrong. You're now going to distort it and make it right. So you need both kinds of hisponiness. Don't be an iver. Don't be blind, like a person who never knew what was right and what was wrong, not what was there. Don't be an iver and don't be a suma. And don't make yourself blind that even if you knew what was right and wrong, now you'll, by your subjectivity, change the good into bad and the bad into good. That's like a suma. That's person after the fact, not blind from birth.